is going to be dedicated to one of our own here at WHFR, somebody we lost August 2nd, 2017, Mark Sheeler. He was a son, a husband, and a veteran. He served in the Global War on Terror and suffered injuries that led to his leaving us far, far too soon. Got to know him here at the station, but he made friends literally the world over, including here in the local community at a local gym named Victory. And we've asked some of those friends to join us here on Impact today to talk about not just Mark, but what they do for people like Mark, the community at large, what they have to offer, and why you should know more about Victory. So I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves at this time. Folks, please.
Thank you, Mark. I'll start out. My name is Shara Hainer. I'm the Executive Director of Victory Gym and Veterans Health Club. Mark Sheeler was one of our early members and a dedicated, staunch advocate for his fellow veterans and the mission at the gym. So I won't get into too much about our mission just yet. I'll let Tim introduce himself. I just let the cat out of the bag, who was with me. So,
yeah, my name is Tim Woolley. I'm the president of Victory Gym. I knew Mark pretty well as well, and he always had a smile on his face, and we miss him dearly around the gym. He'll always be remembered, and he's definitely one of our thoughts on a regular basis there.
Absolutely. So, Tim, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you do at the gym and what your background is in terms of your service?
Okay. Well, I am the president, and my job, I basically focus on making sure everything is kind of getting done around the gym. Everybody's handling their position well. One of my primary jobs is to try to bring as much money into the gym, constantly fundraising. I am a councilman in the city of Taylor, so that does help. I meet a lot of connections through that. A lot of people that want to give to veteran organizations, and I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I was a forward observer for artillery. I am technically a disabled veteran, and when our founder Mike Emery met with me to discuss this idea, and wanted me to help him find a building, it was just like a light went off in my head, and I was just so amazed by the idea of it, and everything I could do to help him, I did that. I couldn't commit to being a board member at that time, but eventually Mike got me over there and got me on the board and everything. But to be a part of this from the thought process, to walk in that room or walk in the gym and see it, a reality is always, it's always a great feeling. I'm so proud of Mike and the job he did and the idea he had.
Now let's speak about that idea, Tim, that mission statement, if you will, of Victory Gym.
Well, Mike is a 18-year combat veteran, or an 18-year Army veteran. He is a combat veteran. He was medically discharged for PTSD. He was a sniper in the military. He went through some really tough times and had to check himself into a place down in, I believe it was Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, and while he was there, he was working on himself, and he kind of got this idea, like, when I work out and stuff, it really helps me, and he kind of came up with this idea, a healthy body leads to a healthy mind. And this is what got the whole process started, and us trying to, 22 veterans a day kill themselves, and our job is to get them in the gym, give them that family atmosphere, give them a place to decompress, a place to come talk, about their problems as well. And it's just been very successful. I was part of another veteran organization that I ended up just kind of, I'm still a part of it, but I had to leave the board because I'm so committed to this place. It's unbelievable. That's all I can say. When you have people that come to you and say this place has helped me, and then you have other people that say this place has saved my life, and that just makes it all worthwhile. You know, it makes your heart just, you know, swell, and you know, knowing that we're helping people in the community. You know, we are free for veterans and first responders, but anybody is welcome. And that's what makes it so great, because we have students and just regular civilians, and we all have just become such a big, I like to always say, you know, jokingly, we're all one big dysfunctional family, you know, and, you know, with that military camaraderie and stuff, you know, and it's been great for me, you know, and people like Char has just been unbelievable, you know, as far as Char is definitely the mom of the place, you know. Char is everybody's,
Maggie included.
Yeah, Char's everybody goes to Char, you know, and she just definitely has that mother appeal for everybody in the gym, you know. So that it just shows you how much everybody cares for her as well, and how much they, you know, the confidence they have in her, where they can talk to her as well. So,
speaking of which, Char, you have while you didn't serve yourself, as Tim was saying, it's not just veterans. It's not just first responders, as in law enforcement and firemen, fire people.
Yeah, paramedics.
Let me stand corrected. Yeah. Paramedics.
Exactly.
But also
civilians. Sure. Well, the gym, it's just such a great community. What I always like to say is that when I started really getting into this, and I will say that I started volunteering about an hour a week. This was, almost 2 years, well, a little over 2 years, about 2.5 years ago now. It just had seeped into your soul. It's just such a beautiful, fantastic place. Rugged. It's like the best garage style gym where you work out with your neighbors, you know, and just have a great time joking around. And if you want to talk, you talk. And if you want to just work out, then you work out. But it's become its own community and its own family. And now I always think of ripples in a pond. You know, you throw that pebble in there, see what happens, and the ripples spread outward. And that's what's happening with Victory Gym, is that the ripples are spreading through the community like crazy. We're seeing more veterans organizations pop up. We work with them all the time, partnering on things, just referring people to each other. It's fantastic. And I guess backing up a little bit to cross some of the T's and dot the I's, we are a 501c3 federal charity. So any donations that we receive are tax deductible according to your own personal tax situation. But everybody there is a volunteer. All of our equipment's been donated. So you walk in, it's not fancy, but it's really, really cool. There's military memorabilia every place. We have a lot of service flags that folks who've served brought back with them. We have service photos. And the thing that is most important when you walk in, we have our memory wall there. Those are the folks that are not with us any longer, whether it's due to PTSD or killed in action or died of natural causes. But those teal ribbons are what drive us every day, because we look at them and realize that this segment of our community, pieces of our family, they're struggling, you know, with the effects of their service. And so we want to provide a place where they can come and reestablish those ties to the community and ties to their brothers and sisters, and that isolation that PTSD imposes on people. I don't know about, you know, all of you guys listening, but I think we all have days where we just don't feel like leaving the house. Things are not going great that day. Well, just, and Tim could probably speak to this better than I can, but picture that all the time, you know, and you feel like you're the only person that is going through all of this. And that's the biggest thing about the gym, is that we want veterans and first responders who experience these things to know that they are not alone, that not only are your brothers and sisters right there with you, they've had similar experiences, but the civilians and volunteers and other members that are there, they're there to support you. You're not going to be asked a bunch of rude questions that you find in other places. Surprisingly, yes, people do ask rude questions, but everybody's there for a common purpose. And I think one of the biggest things that Mike always said, Mike Emery, when he founded the gym, is that it's rediscovering a sense of purpose that you don't have once you get back into civilian life oftentimes. So that's one of the great things about the gym.
Right. I think people coming out of the military, there's definitely, they don't know how to readjust somewhat. So that, excuse me, that's one of the biggest problems that, we've seen, in our group. I do attend the Wednesday meetings. It's been
Those are the PTSD
the
meetings,
PT,
Tim.
we have a PTSD meeting every Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the gym.
And that's
It's
just for veterans, right? And
combat
veterans.
veterans and first responders, yes. And what it is, it's at 7 o'clock, and it's in a private room. There's no doctors. It's strictly peer to peer, and people can come, and if it's their first time, they can just sit in and watch and observe and listen. If they do feel like talking, we encourage that. If they don't, we're okay with that. Just come in, say who, at least, let everybody know who we are, and we all introduce ourselves and stuff like that. But it's for me, it's become like a decompression chamber. It's if I can feel my, I get tense. People with PTSD, we all say that, people can go to 0 to 100, and people with PTSD are usually at about a 35 to 50 all the time, every day. So that's why you see anger issues and stuff like that, because, like Char was talking about, we get very stressed out about not wanting to get out of bed. We get in that hole that it's so hard to get out of sometimes. I tell everybody that I live my life in peaks and valleys, if I'm having a good week, I'm going up the hill, up the peak, and then there's times that I'm going down that into that valley, and that valley gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and you got to do whatever you got to do to try to get yourself out of that, and that's a struggle. It is truly a struggle. And going to those Wednesday meetings definitely helped me, because my wife can even attest to it. She knew once I started going to that, she saw a difference. I have calmed down a little bit. I'm more patient for the most part, and so it has worked for me. Now there's people that we want to help everybody, but we know we can't help everybody. And there's people that, come once in a while, and then there's our regulars that come every week, and it's definitely become a family in there, because you have to really trust the people you're sitting in that room with to share some of the things that, affect you. And sometimes we have those really deep meetings, and then other times we just sit around and talk, about, the football games on Sunday, or, whatever. But, when somebody's struggling, they're comfortable enough to say, "Hey, I'm struggling, guys, and this is what's going on." And that's it's great. And when you see people that come in there, and when we leave that meeting that night, you can just see how much more calmer they are, that they were able to share that. Because we've had some guys, that have come in, with some serious, issues, and we've been able to get them to talk about things and stuff. And the great thing is there's such a variety of people in there. I'm kind of like one of the old guys. I'm like one of the grandpas. I'm Desert Storm. A lot of
So
these
you're
guys
like
are,
the dad, and I'm like the
I
mom.
am.
There
Yeah,
you
it's like,
go.
so we've all, a lot of us have run the gamut, and a lot of them are the same story. We came home, we didn't know how to adjust that well. We were in pain. We didn't know what was really wrong with us. We knew something was different, and most of us all turned to alcohol. We called it self-medicating, and I was definitely one of those. I came home and drank and drank and drank and drank, and thinking that it was gonna numb it. It did numb you, but when you woke up the next morning, you were still in the same boat.
Plus the hangover. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
For those who are resonating with what you're saying and who are saying this is something that I can turn to, where would people find you? Let's start with social media. Are you on social?
Oh, we sure are. We've got a Facebook page, just Victory Gym VHC, like Victor Henry Charlie. We've also got a website, www.victorygymvhc.org. You can find information about the schedules for the meetings, for the gym schedule, everything, our story, some pictures, some silly videos, just, you know, some cool, basically everything you need to know. And my phone number's on there. Feel free to call me. Seriously, I don't mind at all. I always say, if you know, if somebody's in crisis, feel free to call me and I will get you guys, get that person or that person's loved one with one of our veterans. And that's another cool thing that is that we do there. The vets keep up with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there's no real list or anything like that. There's nothing formal, but it's like a buddy check. So if we haven't heard from somebody in a while, there's a text sent out or a phone call. It's just that family arrangement. It's like you're, when you're serving, that's your brothers and sisters right there. So everybody keeps tabs on each other. But there's all kinds of information. The best way for current information is on Facebook, but the website is up to date as well. So
and the gym is located where?
The gym, the address is 23156 King Road in Brownstown, and it's between Dix, Toledo, and Telegraph, right across from the Brownstown Police Department. And there's a large church on the corner across the street as well. So, yeah, we're easy to find. We have very extended hours, open at 7 a.m. Monday through, well, in the entire week, actually. And then we're open until 11 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock on Saturdays, and 9 o'clock on Sundays. I just wanted to circle back around to talking about the fitness aspect of it. So, obviously, we're a gym, but the cool thing about exercise is there have been a lot of studies that show that the increase in serotonin levels that you experience through exercise, or, you know, in the endorphins, that really benefits any other treatments that you're receiving for PTSD, whether you're working with the VA or you're taking medication or you're just maintaining on your own. The exercise just... It's really a feel-good non-drug, I guess I'll put it that way. It helps. It gets the anger out. It helps you refocus. And talking about refocusing, we've got a couple other cool things coming up. We'll be opening very shortly, we hope, a therapeutic wood shop. So that'll be for veterans. It'll be we'll have a team lead there who's very experienced with all of that to kind of teach you how to do things. But working with your hands, it also helps to focus the mind a little bit. And when you're focusing on, I don't want to say menial tasks, but, you know, smaller, more directed things, I think your mind is not free to wander as right. much and think
not
about, self-harm. Yeah, right. exactly. Yeah. Think about things that you don't really want to be dwelling on. So we've got that going. Yeah, like I said, it's just a really cool place. Oh, we also have a lounge for those of you who don't like to work out. You don't have to. So
you can just come in and hang out. And, yeah, you know, sure. We got some couches and a TV. We even have a video game set up.
Coffee,
you know,
going all the time.
Yeah, it's just a place like, even like Char was saying, if you don't want to work out and you just need to get out of the house, or just if you live alone and you need to get around people and stuff, you know, we encourage it. You know, we have... we got a few people that come in there. We, you know, we got some old timers that come in the morning, drink their coffee, and, you know, rip on us young guys and tell us how to run the world to make it a better place. You know,
that, you know, we'll feel comfortable and we'll feel there's a familiarity.
Absolutely.
Yes.
To what the certain, like Lejeune or.
Mm-hmm. And it is that it's, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, even in the PTSD meetings, we, you know, it's, we rip on each other, you know, it's like you get those, you know, we'll be in a serious moment and there's always just that crack to break the tension, you know, right. and everybody starts laughing.
Yeah.
But it's all, that. It's all done in love. Right. And, right. And that's the typical military, you know, you could be bleeding and somebody would make a joke just to break the, you know.
Okay, gallows humor, whatever you
yeah,
want to call
exactly,
it. There's certain,
know?
There's a certain well, phrase yeah. that right. I don't want to say on the radio.
Probably, oh, right. Yes.
That, what was it? Locker room humor or something?
Yeah, there you go. Locker room humor. Well, it is kind of cool because even though what we have a very serious mission and we just don't take ourselves seriously. So,
right.
yeah, we have lots of comic moments there mm-hmm. for sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a very cool place. Can't say enough about it.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a certain short period that I've visited, and just learning about you in the past week definitely inspired me to come back.
And work out?
and work out and attend meetings. Because, well, for one thing, my job is nearby, you guys. And
there you go.
And also, it was just, like I said, that familiarity. But it was also good. When I first started doing Impact, the first guest I had on was Team RWB. Mm-hmm. And you guys are good friends with Team RWB. Shane Campos.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And big shout out to those guys. So there's a lot of familiarity all the way around with Victory Gym and the community. And again, we want to share this word with people about how to get in touch with Victory Gym. Again, that you're on Facebook.
We're on Facebook. Yep, we have a website.
Which is
www.victorygymvhc.org. And if you just search Victory Gym, we should pop up. Mm-hmm. So it's
King Road.
It's on King Road, right?
In the address. Brownstown.
In Brownstown, yep. 23156 King Road. Yep, can't miss us.
Good deal.
Good deal, yeah.
And the place, just, you walk in, and like I said, if you're a vet, you'll feel at home. There's a certain, you come to get yours. And the first thing, it was like, oh, you can grunt in this place.
Oh, you can.
It's a
exactly.
grunt zone.
Yeah. Well,
literally.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, you can work out in your jeans and work boots if you feel like it. You can drink a big jug of water, carry a gallon jug of water around.
We just ask that you don't throw the weights.
Yeah, exactly. And try not to hurt yourself.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself and don't throw the weights.
Exactly.
Or otherwise, our vice president, Mike Trout, will yell at you.
Yeah, there you go.
And it is a 501c3. There's donated gear. And it's a place where if you're an organization that is capable of making a difference, a donation, please keep Victory Gym in mind, because you could contribute and keep Victory going forward.
Exactly.
That's what keeps our doors open. You know, every dollar that comes in, you know, I always look at charities, how much of your dollar actually goes to the organization. And that's what we're so proud to say, that 100% of your dollar goes to keeping our lights on, to keeping the doors open, mm-hmm. to buying toilet paper, to buying wipes, you know, to wipe the equipment down. And I mean, we have people that send us stuff through Amazon, to, you know, just cleaning equipment, you know, every little thing, because we are essentially running a business on donations. And it's so humbling and amazing how some of these businesses in our community has just stepped up and helped us tremendously. I mean, you
and
know, I'm going to give a few,
too, yeah.
if it's okay, a few plugs, you know, Expert Heating and Cooling really helped save our lives. You know, we almost $50,000 in heating and cooling. They did everything for the Rotaries. Woodhaven, Brownstown, Trenton, Taylor, Southgate,
Grozio,
the Rotaries have been unbelievable to us. I think I was telling you that where, you know, a member of JS Vig in Taylor just come walking in our facility and said, hey,
he's there for a Rotary meeting.
Yeah. And then he come in and he saw that our ceiling tiles in the hall was getting dingy. And he's like, you know, my company does this and we're going to replace all these for free. You know, it's just things like that just, it's amazing, but it's so...
That's community activism.
It is. It's so helpful, and so many people want to help veterans, and don't get me wrong, there are some good organizations out there, but there's some very big organizations that you might give them a dollar and only a quarter of that goes to the actual veteran, because they have such a high
overhead,
and they actually pay the people that run that, you know, to where... Our whole board, everybody is a volunteer. Not one person receives any money whatsoever.
Right.
We get a free water.
No, we don't even get that.
Yeah, you know.
Usually we donate the water,
right.
And then we get
it. And that's the thing. People come in all the time and just donate cases of water and Gatorade. And we sell those for $1 and $2. So that's free money that helps us, you know, pay a light bill and stuff. It's unbelievable. You know, Mike Emery has just created a great idea, and it's thriving right now. It's unbelievable. And
so a tip of the hat to Mike Emery.
Yes, definitely. Oh, he's our founder and he's our mentor. He's our he's our best bud. And Mike, a tip of the hat to the two of you
for mm-hmm. picking up the torch mm-hmm. and going forward. And Mom Char, two sons who are carrying
house,
the torch.
House divided.
Yeah, house divided. Yes.
Elvis is
Army.
But the youngest is a double dog, or about to become, or no, he just shipped out.
Working at it. He just shipped yesterday, as a matter of fact. Sorry, Monday. It was today's Wednesday.
Wednesday. So
he shipped on. Shipped San Diego? A couple days ago. No, Paris Island.
Oh well.
Paris Island.
Well,
so. Well. Yeah. So, my husband's a veteran, my dad, all my uncles, my grandfather served in the trenches in France in World War One. So, yeah, it's kind of, I never thought it'd be, I don't know, just military family. So, yeah. It's cool.
And actually, Char's husband, we served in the same division.
Yeah.
Really?
In the 2nd Armor Division. Yeah.
Exactly.
And apparently, he and I worked at the same place.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The world is small.
Hey, that's downriver for you right there.
Everybody knows somebody.
Exactly. I just wanted to circle back to the donation aspect for a moment. We have lots of opportunities to donate on our website for individuals and companies and other charitable foundations. So when you head over to our website, you'll see a white box with a list. So you can donate in honor of someone or in their memory, and we'll be happy to list whatever message you'd like to on the that page. We have a link to our Amazon Smile, which is, they'll provide a donation to us for things that you order for your personal use or whatever. We also have an Amazon wish list for things that we would like to have. And, you know, a lot of that is our ongoing weekly needs, like Tim was mentioning, but cleaning products, that sort of thing. And some other larger items, like we always need heavy dumbbells because we have some heavy lifters there. But so there's all of that. We have just a donate button. You can do that. And we have recurring donations as well. So if you'd like to say, we have some wonderful people who will send us $10, $15 a month. And we appreciate that so much because that's something that we can count on, first of all, every month. And it just, it goes to show you see that reminder every day, every month that comes through on your statement and say, oh yeah, I remember my veterans. And you enjoy that sense of patriotism and giving back. And it's just fantastic. We also have a larger program. It's called Enlist in Victory. So all the companies that Tim was mentioning and the Rotary Clubs, we have a wall in the gym that will thank them for their contribution. So we have different levels for that. Starts at 1,000 and then goes up to 10,000 plus. Of course, if you want to give more than that, we'd be happy to accept
absolutely.
It. But we do rely on donations and the support of the community very heavily. We have some paid memberships with civilians, but in general, though, the donations keep our doors open. And at the end of the day, that's our goal. We want to reach as many people as we can. And we also have a goal of expansion. When Mike Emery began this dream, just had a dream that turned into a goal that turned into a tangible thing that's on the ground every single day. I don't even think we closed maybe 2 days in the last year.
Yeah, just because we were renovating.
Yeah. And even then, our members could still come in. Right. They just, you know, wouldn't be able to work out those days. Exactly. Put a paintbrush in their hand. But, it's so everything we do just goes to keep those doors open for the people that need us.
And Mike's goal, and one of the things we're still trying to, Mike's goal is to have one Victory Gym in
every
state. At
least one, yeah.
And right now Georgia's firing up, so we're going to probably have one in Savannah, Georgia here. And it just seems like the word is really spread within the last year. I mean,
absolutely.
Just before Christmas is normally a slower donation time for us. And it's been amazing. It was like just before Christmas, everything started clicking. And it's just word is spreading. Rotaries are getting us out there. Business owners are getting us out there. More and more people are hearing about us. We're in magazines. We're featured in magazines. Now we're on radio.
Exactly.
And it's just been unbelievable. And people are reaching out to us and saying, hey, we're doing this and we want to give you the proceeds. And, you know, that's what keeps us alive. You know, that's what's keeps our doors open, lights on, we say, right. You know, and it's just been tremendous. Really well, has been tremendous.
Tim, Char, Victory Gym is on Facebook and your own website at victorygym.org.
VHC.org. Yes, our full name is Victory Gym and Veterans Health Club. So right.
Okay.
Yes.
Victory Gym.
And our nickname is Victory Gym. That's how we go.
Okay. As located, tell them the address again.
The address is 23156 King Road in Brownstown, and we're between Dix, Toledo, and Telegraph, right across the street from the Brownstown Police Department. Super easy to get there from pretty much everywhere. Right off the Dix, Toledo, you can get there from I-75 very easily. Assuming you get around the construction successfully, but yeah.
It is construction season.
It is construction season.
And I-75 is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But this is as worthy a cause as you'll find. And it might be the location, the place, the people that could very well change your life, help you, and may well see you there. So please keep these good people in mind. Please consider contributing. And remember Mark Sheeler. Thank you for stopping by the studio. This is where Mark was. Victory is where Mark was. And we keep him in our hearts. And I thank you so much for coming by.
We can't thank you enough for having us. And like I said, Mark is always in our minds, and every time, you know, you think, at least every time I think of Mark, it brings a smile to my face. So we miss him dearly, and he's you know, we do keep in touch with his family from time to time, you know, and they'll stop in. It was his mom that came in, mm-hmm. the last time I'd seen her, you know, and so it's good. They still have a special place. You know, as you know, when Mark passed, it was his, you know, he wanted all donations to be given to us. That just shows you how much he loved the organization as well.
Exactly. And his photo is on our memory wall.
Absolutely.
So.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So joining us in this half of Impact is Martina Ashanti Smith. Martina is a wife, mother, speaker, mentor, survivor, and most importantly, victor over domestic violence and sexual assault. She has served women and our youth for over 10 years as a mentor, facilitator, crisis intervention advocate, youth advocate, and worker for organizations such as Girl Scouts of Michigan, Dove Uniquely Me Self-Esteem Program, Imagine Mentoring Program of Michigan, and Washtenaw County Children's Services. She is the owner of Victors Beyond LLC and co-owner of Six Crowns Company Lifestyle Brand. I'm sorry. Currently, Mrs. Smith is a logistics coordinator for one of the oldest commercial horticultural suppliers in the U.S. She's utilizing her expertise in planning and implementation to assist individuals in developing the self-advocacy skills necessary to navigate through life. She's an alumna of the Detroit Job Corps Center, where she studied business technologies. She received her Human Resources Management Certificate from Washtenaw County Community College. Mrs. Smith is trained in crisis intervention and victim advocacy. And I must say, she's a very dear friend. And I am very glad that she is alive, well, and here joining us at WHFR today. Martina.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Thank you for being that survivor, that victor.
Yes, a victor indeed. And I am a survivor. I endured a lot. That experience was eye-opening for me. And now, because I am healed and I understand why I had that experience, I'm able to help more people to get out of that situation, and God willing, alive. So I'm very grateful for that experience. It made me a better person, made me stronger, and it provided an opportunity for me to give back and impact lives in a way in which my life has been impacted just from that experience. So it's unfortunate to some degree, but at the same time, it opened my eyes to a serious issue that's happening in our community.
You say you're not a victim.
No.
Why is that?
Because I chose to stay. And I made a personal decision to stay for a number of different reasons, like so many other women that choose to stay. But then I also choose to fight back. You know, I made that choice. So I don't feel like a victim. You know, the heart of domestic violence is about power and control. That person wants to have power over you. That abuser wants to control you. And so once you realize, you know what, I have the power, I have the choice, and I'm going to choose to get out of the situation, you know, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. I fought back. I took the power back and I took control of the situation. And by the grace of God, I was able to walk away alive. You know, there's some women, there's some men that weren't as fortunate as I have been, but I'm definitely not a victim.
You deny him that?
No, he doesn't get that.
Good.
He doesn't get that. I think he would enjoy and marvel in the idea that I'm living in fear of him. But really my fear was what I would have to do to him in order to protect myself. And I would have to go against my morals and my beliefs and my, I believe that life is sacred. And so in order to protect my life, have to take somebody else's life when I could have used another means to get out of a situation, I would rather do that, you know? So, and that's what I did.
I remember back in the day, you and I used to have conversations about my military background, and we were not at odds. Mm-hmm. We're friends.
Yeah.
You were curious.
I am, and I still am. That hasn't changed.
And I was never opposed. It's not about being clad. It was just a matter of, this is where I come from. This is my family. There were veterans before me. And this is my friend Martina asking me questions. And I respect her. Mm-hmm. And as best I can, I share my belief system. Mm-hmm. And here is somebody that I know and honor who was in quite the... I did not know what you were going through. And you kept it to yourself.
Yeah.
And here I am, this male, who thinking, had I known this, I would have leapt into and done these things. And that's one of the reasons you kept things to yourself.
Yeah.
I take it.
Yeah. You know, I have a really good support system. And like you said, you guys, I have great friends. You know, you are my friend. And one of the things I wanted to do, well, there was a lot of guilt and shame there. So that's why no one really knew, but my immediate family. But it was really towards the end when I couldn't hide it anymore. And out of love and respect for my family and for people like you, I did keep it away. And because I didn't want to, my biggest fear was that you guys were going to be harmed in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And then also that he was going to be harmed, you know, which I think would have been, it was, that was a given.
Yeah.
That was a given.
And that's a testimony to you as a human being, as a child of God, Allah.
Thank you.
You have so much compassion that even people who harm you, you put something up on Facebook I just saw before I came in here about the snake. Even when the snake bites. In what way?
Well, there are women that reach out to me on Facebook, and I'm a part of a couple different groups on Facebook, and people that know me or know my history, because I've talked about it more on Facebook, and I revealed it to family and friends. So they'll say, you know, they'll reach out to me, they'll have questions, about domestic violence, you know, hey, you know, my sister or my cousin or my girlfriend, they're going through an abusive situation, they're with this guy or their husband is abusive, and you know, how can I help? Or you know, there are people, women that are transitioning out of abusive relationships, and I use the word transition because they're not quite ready to leave, and they're just, you know, coping. And they probably don't even, many of them don't even know how to leave. They don't even probably believe that they can leave. So having that conversation with them, they just need someone to talk to and confide in. So I'm their confidant. And I'm not a mandated reporter, so I don't necessarily have to report to the state or anyone things that they don't want revealed. Now, personally, if it's regarding children being abused or anything, I'm going to report that. I can't not do anything about that. But if it's in regards to them personally being abused.
How would they reach you?
Through Facebook. Through Facebook, my name is Martina Shanti Smith. You can message me, friend me on Facebook, or you can email me at victorsbeyond, V-I-C-T TORS Beyond at gmail.com.
And that's Martina Ashanti.
Ashanti Smith. Martina Ashanti Smith on Facebook.
A-S-H-A-N-T-I.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And again, if people, and I say people, mm-hmm. because we speak generally of this being about women, but it's not just.
No. No.
There, you said something earlier, mm-hmm. women, men abuse with their fists.
Well, there's like a saying that women fight with their words and men fight with their fists. You know, there's a physical and verbal element, because sometimes abusers, they will say, well, she triggered me because, you know, she said something to me. And, you know, as women, we have a way with our words, you know, so and although it's an excuse, you know, because maybe the woman is more articulate and more, she thinks quicker on her toes as far as how she expresses herself verbally, then that man or abuser will result to dominating or fighting her physically using his hands, you know.
And we're not going to say this is an excuse for men to hit. If that's where a individual is coming from, stop right now.
Yeah.
That we're not having that.
No.
By no means. We're talking the legitimate, the real thing. We don't want to confuse the matter. But if you are an individual undergoing abuse, here is someone who is an advocate on your behalf, who seeks to help, who seeks to share with you her experience and help you make that transition. Now, if there are children involved, you really should reach out to her, because, as she said, they must come out from under.
You know, I have to be, because I like to protect, I have to protect people's personal information. But I will say this, because there have been situations where I've worked with women. I'll say, and I call them my sisters. They do. They become my sisters. And I don't know, you know, these beautiful people from anywhere. We just connect online, you know, and they reach out to me and we develop a relationship. And there are women that are in these abusive relationships and they have children. And the children are being abused. And that is so heartbreaking, because a lot of times, you know, in the beginning, it's just you, you know, the person, I'm going to say the man in this situation, because it's more common for men abuse women than for women abuse men. Although there are women, you know, that are domestic violent abuse, there are abusers as well. And there are some women that are just as bad as the man. So it's not a gender thing, you know, because you have the LGBT community as well, and they're going through that, and it's really, really bad. So, you know, you stay an intimate partner. So you have the women that are in these abusive relationships with their boyfriend or with their husband, and more than likely, you know, the man is abusing the child verbally, physically. I've heard cases where the child is being put in hot scalding water as a punishment. And so, and at that moment, when your child is vulnerable to this type of abuse, you have to say to yourself, I'm more afraid of my child dying, or the long-term impact, negative impact of this abuse, than anything that I'm going to endure. It's one thing for you to endure it, but it's another thing when you subject a child to it. And it gets real complicated when you're trying to, because we come up, you know, with escape plans, you know, because that's what I'm here for. Ultimately, I'm going to encourage you to get out. But I also understand that you have to be wise and strategic about it, because there's so many different barriers that prevents a victim from leaving that abuse of situation, you know, whether it's their finances. Man, I don't have a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't have the ability to just go out and replace the type of income that I would need to survive on my own and take care of my children, pay for childcare. And then you also have the civil issue, you know, as in regards to family law. You know, there could be a custody issue. Can I get a protective order where he doesn't have access to the children? You know, so it's so many different things that can be just overwhelming for any victim to have to even think about or consider, that oftentimes it's just much easier to stay. But then you run the risk of being killed. And so I always keep that at the forefront of my sister's mind, that look, every day that you stay, it's more likely that you'll be killed. You can never say what a person's not going to do, because you never thought that they were going to betray your trust. You never thought that they were going to violate you. You never thought that they were going to rape you. You never thought that they were going to abuse you, humiliate you in front of family and friends. You never thought they were going to isolate you. That you never thought that they were going to try to control you and belittle you and talk down to you, kick you, slap you, punch you, pull your hair, take your battery out your car so you can't go anywhere, limit your access to your finances, your banking, or your credit cards, or your debit cards. You know, you don't have any cash on you. Limit the amount of times you can eat per day. You know, harass you, have surveillance cameras in your home to make sure you don't leave the house, or know what time you leave, put a GPS on your car, you know, or have, there's so many different tactics that abusers use to control and violate these women that, and after they're in this relationship for so long, they become accustomed to this type of lifestyle where they, it's a matter of survival. And it's so paralyzing and frightening to even think about leaving, because of what may happen to them as a result of them leaving. They can be killed, or their family can be harmed, you know, or just being able to function on your own without this person, because it's become your new normal, the abuse. So many different layers and barriers that victims have to consider, and that they endure, and that they have to overcome. And so that's why I offer myself, and just from my experience and over these last, 7 years, you know, just talking to different women and helping them to get out of the abuse, and just being strategic and creative and implementing a plan on them getting out. And some of them, they don't leave, they go back, you know, which is common. And what I want to say to family and friends who, your loved one, you know, they're doing that yo-yo thing. They're going back and forth, you know. They're crying, they're complaining about the abuser and the abuse, yet they are not quite ready to leave, or they do leave and they go back. That's normal. And the reason why, I mean, it's a number of reasons why, but you experience so much trauma and you're under so much duress, you can't even think straight. So what you're hoping for is just a break to where you don't have anyone attacking you or coercing you, or just creating, it's like a pressure cooker, you know, this person's just constantly attacking you and on you. And then you finally get away, you get to think, it's a breather, it's like a release of pressure. I'm free. And then here's this abuser coming back, and they're text messaging you. I love you. I'm going to do better. I miss my children.
But you know it's not true.
You know it's not true. But do you believe it's not true? Are you not hopeful that they're going to change? That this time, possibly, they are going to do better. And you know what happens is that it's like a honeymoon stage where things were really, 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 really bad and really ugly. And then there's a short period of time where things are going great. You guys are doing good. And then you start to fantasize. And I hear this happen to so many women all the time. They fantasize. And I know it sounds crazy. And that's the whole post-traumatic trauma cycle. and things are going great. You know, they're buying you flowers, roses, you're having great conversation, they're being kind and considerate. You know, for married couples, they're helping out around a house, they're being pleasant towards the children. They're being that person that you were attracted to and that you fell in love with. And no sooner than things seem peaceful and we were doing good, they turn right back around and they go back to who they really are, and that's that abusive monster. You know, and the question is always why? Why do they stay, right?
How do they not see it coming?
I know women, they've been in an abusive marriage for 20 years. And they just, their self-esteem, their self-worth, their ability to advocate for themselves, they've just been completely deprived and depleted of their ability to do all those things. My sisters don't even believe that they can do it. So it's a matter of helping them build up their esteem and their self-worth and to be able to wake up in the morning, look at themselves and have the even will or desire to fight. I mean, some of my sisters, they put up a good fight and they really, really try hard. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to walk away. But I will tell you, enough is enough. And when you have enough and you just accept the fact that this person is not going to change and that you have resources, you have the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, you have the Mission Coalition Against Domestic Violence, you have organizations like the Salvation Army and the Detroit Police Department, you have NOVA, the National Organization for Victim Assistance, you have all these different resources you have access to, domestic violence shelters, and work readiness and employment support. You have people like you and I that are bringing awareness about it and talking about it, that there are resources out there that you can have access to and that you can use to get out of that situation, you know? And that's why I try to be as supportive and make myself available as much as possible, because people become suicidal. Some people have given up hope. They don't even think they can get out of the situation. So if we can just reach one person and help one person, change the way they perceive and view their situation and know that they can walk away at any time and they can come up with a plan. If they can't just leave right now, you know, you may have to leave everything that you own and just leave out with your shirt on your back. If you're willing to do that and your life is more important, more precious to you than this person and their lies that they've been telling you and the abuse and maybe this idea you had in your mind of what a relationship should be like, and know that, look, you were created by God and you weren't created to endure this. Your life is far more greater than that BS you're going through. And you have a purpose for being here, and it's not to be the footstool of any man or any woman that don't respect and love you, because love is respect, period. So if I can help anybody understand that, then it's worth it. It's worth every time they go back, the late nights, staying up to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, talking to them, text messaging them to make sure that they don't hurt themselves. Whatever I can do, because somebody did it for me. And I know for what it's like to be in that type of situation and to feel broken and feel ashamed and feel guilt, because you're like, what? Am I in a twilight zone? How did I even freaking get here?
Martina, in the time we have left, tell people how they can reach you so you can be there for them.
Thank you. My name is Martina Shanti Smith. And if you or someone you know needs help, access to resources, or just someone to talk to, you can reach me via email at victorsbeyond@gmail.com, or you can contact me on Facebook. My name is Martina Ashanti Smith, and you can message me, add me as a friend, And yeah, can I mention some other resources? Because maybe Please. They're not in Michigan and maybe they're not on social media. You have loveisrespect.org, which is a great organization that's focused on teen violence prevention, dating, intimate partner prevention. That's 1-866-331-9474. You have the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence.org, which is an awesome resource that you can have access to. You also have the National Center on Domestic and Sexual Violence. Their website is ncdav.org. And the 1-800 number, crisis line for the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. Before we go, there's a pledge from liveyourdream.com that, or liveyourdream.org, that I would like everyone to make. And the pledge is, I pledge to take action to end violence against women and children and men, to learn about the facts, warning signs, and educate myself and my community, speak up against victim blaming, discrimination, and violence to break the stigma, donate my time and funds to help survivors build a better life for themselves and their families, connect survivors to empowerment programs that break the cycle of violence, listen to survivors without judgment, affirming their trust and safety, encourage survivors to seek and build financial independence, and reassure survivors they are not alone and that we are here to help. And that is my pledge.
This is why we have impact. This has been Martina Ashanti Smith with Mark Hall on WHFR, the only station making waves. This has been a pre-recorded show. And this is why I thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned in. Thank you.
College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Listener supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you are at the Malt Shop with Daddy G, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the jukebox is playing